19 brave House Republicans yesterday did something very important that you have to be paying attention to. They now have negotiated or pushed forward negotiations because they voted to hold up what is called the procedure vote for FISA. And many of you know, we talked about it on the show, we had Chairman Jim Jordan on this show to discuss it. That is, FISA is about to be up for reauthorization. It expires April 19th. And so the House is pushing this forward. Now, there were several things that were wrong with all of this. And because of those 19 brave men and women who refused to comply with Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, now they all have a seat at the negotiations table. And that's why this is so important. So let me walk you through this. Now, many of you guys know FISA has been used to spy on Americans. They'll deny it. You know, people like Congressman Dan Crenshaw will tell you that it's only used on foreign enemies. It's not. It's used on Americans. We know that there was over 3.4 million Americans who, well, had their communications spied on, and there was no warrants for any of that. Now, we also know that FISA was used on 19,000 Americans, congressional candidates and their donors. We also know that 278,000 searches, improper searches, were done on American citizens as well. And so what does this mean as a whole? Well, it means that our federal government, obviously, as you know, is weaponized against us, and they're using FISA to go around our Fourth Amendment rights. And that's very, very concerning for most of us, obviously. What's even more concerning is the people that are pushing the reauthorization of FISA. They want us to just give up all of our constitutional rights and pretend like the government's not spying on you. In a new Fox News opinion piece, it was pretty disgraceful. But you'll notice in this piece, it's written by, well, people who you and I probably aren't very fond of these days. People like former Attorney General Bill Barr and Mike Pompeo, they're all pushing this forward. They say Congress cannot let FISA Section 702 expire, of course. And then they go on to saying that Congress must reauthorize it in its reformed version. Now, speaking of reformed version, members of Congress are claiming that there are reforms that were made. They include about 53 reforms. And they say that now, of course, with these 53 reforms, that everything's okay. The government's not going to be spying on Americans and abusing their power. We all know that is false, not true, but they'll try to do it anyway. And joining us now to discuss all of this is Congressman Tim Burchett. He is from the great state of Tennessee, and he sits on both the Oversight and Foreign Affairs Committee. Congressman, thank you for joining us today. I know it's been a crazy day, so we appreciate your time. I wanted to jump in on this because I thought this whole FISA thing is very, very important, and so many Americans are concerned. But they're really more concerned with the fact that when we elect representatives to represent us in Washington, D.C., we're not electing them to waive our constitutional rights, specifically the Fourth Amendment. And so it was refreshing to see you and 18 other House Republicans hold the line on all of this. What's been your takeaway from all of this so far? Because it's been a crazy day. There's so many updates that we just went through. So what's the biggest takeaway you have so far?
Well, what we did was we took down the rule, which is a procedural vote, and it didn't allow the vote to go further because we were upset, first of all, with FISA, 278,000 violations in 2021 alone. We all know the history of that and how it's used to backdoor spying on Americans. And, you know, and I was told by the State Department that by an assistant secretary at the State Department, when they called me to lobby me, which I'm not sure if that's even legal, that warrants were problematic. So there's a real question there of what's going on. Now, there's been a lot of developments and there's a lot of things breaking. I'm not sure exactly where I will be tomorrow on this bill because of the changes. They're that substantial, and what we did worked, because before, the process was not working. We were not allowed amendments. We weren't allowed to debate. And that's part of the problem with this place up here. That you got a few old, frankly, people that ain't heard the gun go off since the 70s and, you know, making decisions for the rest of us, a bunch of old men sitting in a room, the Uniparty, and then, you know, both parties are involved in it, and they cut the deal. And then the rest of us just supposed to soak it up or suck it up, as the case may be. And so hopefully we've got something working there. We cut it down to 2 years. There's going to be a vote on the Fourth Amendment portion of it, and of course warrants. So if we can get some of that in there, I might hold my nose and vote for it, as a few others have said they would as well. Just we've got to, but I think what we've proven is the conservatives stuck together and we caused some effective change.
I think that's what's really important here, right? Because ultimately they're labeling this as like dysfunction within the party, but it's not. You need to be able to negotiate these key points. And when you do hold the line, and 19 of you did, that's when you get to the table and they need to negotiate with you. I know, you know, we spoke about it, but the Speaker and President Trump are expected to announce potentially renewing this and reauthorizing it every 2 years, which would be a great add-on. But the Speaker also spoke to the media earlier today, and he kind of detailed that he's had a change in, I guess, just how he views FISA as a whole. Let's take a listen.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You got to be fully informed.
Have you been
Okay, so the Speaker is saying that his perspective on all of this has since changed. You know, you sit on the Oversight and Foreign Affairs Committee. Have you seen anything that kind of backs what he's saying, that perspective could change on all of this? Because most Americans are upset because it does violate our constitutional rights because they're using it to surveil on Americans.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they always bring this stuff up, you know, and I guess I'm just skeptical of the intelligence community in general. And this whole bunch up here. I'm skeptical of everybody but me and you. And I'm a little bit skeptical of you, ma'am.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm just kidding you, ma'am. No, but I am skeptical of him. I'm not a trained attorney like the Speaker is. You know, he's a constitutional law guy. And that's obviously not my background. But when they have 278,000 violations that we know of, and there's possibly millions the year before because we slapped their hand and then we caught them at 278,000. You know, I just, you know, somebody working on your house, you have a contractor out there. This is how it happened, how easy it can happen. You have a contractor and say the government wants to look at you, but knows they can't get a search warrant. So what do? They, you know, you call this guy who's working on your roof, or he calls you on his cell phone and says, "Hey, I got to get some more shingles." And you go, "Oh, okay." Well, they don't have to get a FISA warrant to go after him. And since he talked to you, that, you know, that's just about as easy as it happens. And they're crafty at it. And when they're grabbing bad guys, that's great, you know, but when they're getting on, you know, coming after Americans, honest Americans, or just doing a fishing expedition, that scares the hell out of me, ma'am. Excuse my language, but the more and more I delve into this, the more scared I am of our own government. And that's, to me, that's the sad state of affairs.
Well, we cover this all the time on this program, the weaponization of our federal government. So it does scare me. And I think that's why so many people are alarmed by all of this and are concerned. But thankfully, we have people like you, Congressman, who are holding the line and going to make sure that they do add things to it that make it, you know, a little bit easier for the rest of us to deal with. Because we know it's going to get reauthorized. It's just a matter of what goes into it at this point. So we appreciate all.
You're right. It will get it reauthorized. I think it will. And, you know, we can stay on the ground and cuss it and just let it ride by, or we can do what we can to make it a better for America. And I'm hoping to make it better for America. I hope it's something that we get that I could vote for, but if not, I won't. So
yeah, well, that's refreshing to hear. I wanted to ask you one more quick question before you go, so I know you're busy, but there was the exemptions added for members of Congress for them to be kind of flagged when a member of Congress is being surveilled through FISA. Is that still going to make its way into the final round of all these negotiations? Because, you know, why is Congress getting those exemptions?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't like that at all. I think that stinks. And I'd actually forgotten about that. I'm going to make a note to inquire about that one. Thank you, Brianna, for bringing that up. You might have put me back in the no column.
Well, that's my job. No, I'm kidding. Congressman, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We know you're very, very busy. So thank you.